This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Wichita police investigating a suspicious death. We have the story.
Tropical Storm Helene pounding Florida and Georgia. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Police are calling a man's death suspicious. The man was discovered in North Wichita Thursday morning at I-135 and 21st. EMS attempted to render aid, but the man was pronounced dead at the scene. His identity has not been released.
Helene made landfall in Florida as a Category 4 hurricane, and the southern portion of Georgia is being impacted by the storm as well. Fox's Tyler Fingert has the latest from Valdosta, Georgia.
This is the eye wall of Hurricane Helene pounding Valdosta tonight. There are cars on the road. That is obviously not advised. This is a very strong storm that is proving to be extremely dangerous here. We do see emergency responders are out and about. From what we saw, the eye wall started pounding this area. We were seeing sidings of buildings being ripped off, trash cans being thrown about down the street, and multiple tree limbs just literally ripping off these trees. This is a situation that Valdosta and the South Georgia has unfortunately been preparing for. Many people have been trying to make sure they got their generators because there are just so many people in the dark tonight, and this is just the beginning.
And ahead of Hurricane Helene, there was a suspected tornado reported in central Georgia that left two people dead.
Several Kansas residents are in Florida to assist in emergency operations. Red Cross volunteer Mark Roberts is in Tallahassee to manage ground vehicles and get them to where they need to be.
I think we had like 40 shelters that are open and more possible if necessary. So we've got people in Villanos, and then we'll have more people coming in once we get an idea of what's happened.
Several Kansas fire and medical personnel are also in place to help with any search and rescue operations.
Growing calls for New York City Mayor Eric Adams to step down, as prosecutors say he abused his power in a nearly decade-long criminal scheme. Mayor Adams says he did not do it.
According to the criminal indictment, which is more than 50 pages long, prosecutors laid out a history of corruption that they say started when Adams served as Brooklyn Borough President and continued through Adams' 2021 mayoral campaign. Prosecutors say Adams took bribes, sought out illegal campaign contributions, and accepted free flights, dinners at high-end restaurants, and upgrades at luxury hotels from wealthy foreign nationals. The indictment comes amid at least three other ongoing and separate federal investigations linked to people in Adams' administration, leading to a slew of resignations in recent weeks. But Adams says he's staying on. In New York, CB Cotton, Fox News.
Charges have been filed against a man accused of shooting a woman outside Cesta Elementary School in South Wichita. 46-year-old Vincent Solomon released from a hospital and charged Thursday with attempted first-degree murder, aggravated kidnapping, aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer, and interference with a law enforcement officer. He was shot by a Sedgwick County Sheriff deputy. Bond set at $750,000. The woman who was shot remains hospitalized, but police say she is expected to survive. KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
And we are just a few minutes away from our live Friday morning visit with Mitch Holtis, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Get a Chiefs game preview with Mitch in just a few minutes.
The giant Joro flying spider continues its march northward. We have an update, that story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News Time now, 8:07, 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. A juvenile was injured by a flare gun in southwest Wichita Thursday evening in the 3300 block of South Kessler. Police say a 5-year-old was hospitalized with critical injuries.
Israel continues to target top Hezbollah officials across the Israel-Lebanon border. Fox's Mike Tobin with more from Haifa, Israel.
The man who commanded Hezbollah's deadly drones and cruise missiles, Mohammed Sarur, taken out with an Israeli airstrike in the crowded suburb of Beirut, controlled by Hezbollah. The assassination ordered by Israel's prime minister while flying to the U.S., ordered with disregard for a 21-day ceasefire, which the U.S. and France had just proposed. On the verge of full-scale war, Netanyahu told his forces to increase their attacks. Israel's air campaign hit some 75 targets in Lebanon, including several on the border with Syria. Rattling the saber, Israel's 7th Brigade drilled in the north as the army called up reservists, while the U.S. pushed for diplomatic space for talks.
The giant Joro flying spider continues its march northward, now sighted in Massachusetts.
The bright yellow and black spiders, which can grow as long as 6 inches, has been spotted in Boston. Scientists had warned that the invasive species, first seen in the south, could move into the northeast. The spider, native to East Asia, gives the illusion of flying by moving along elaborate silk webs. Though venomous, the spiders aren't harmful to humans. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
8:09 now, 9 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Traffic right now in the Wichita area, looking at those Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras. We have an issue if you're trying to go northbound on I-135 and exit onto eastbound Kellogg. That is very, very slow right now. So we'll watch out there. Traffic update, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Temperatures starting to tick back up after another cool start in the 50s this morning. Slightly above average high later on this afternoon of 82 degrees. Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. And a northerly breeze going to be light at 8 to 18 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronna Williams.
Now clear sky, northwest wind at 6 miles per hour. 55 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 8:10 now, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. What's happening in Wichita this weekend? Let's check in with Jamel Haliparek and visitwichita.com.
Hey, guys. Hope you're having a great Friday. We have a lot going on this weekend. It is so much fun going into fall. First off, Oktoberfest at Prost. This is going on over the weekend. You can get over there to Revolutia. They'll have German beer, German food, you name it. It's going to be authentic, and it'll be fun. That's over at Prost at Revolutia on Friday and Saturday night. And then a couple of festivals also going on Saturday. We have the Prairie Land Beer and Music Festival. This one will be at Hyde Park starting at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And the annual Fall Great Plains Renaissance Festival out there at the Sedgwick County Park starting at 10 a.m. on Saturday. So a lot of festivals and a lot of fun in Wichita this weekend. So hope you have a great one. Have a great day, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks, Jamel. That's Jamel Haliparek and visitwichita.com if you want to know a little bit more about what's going on in our fair city. I can't, you know, hate to miss any Renaissance Festival, that's for sure. Probably have some jousting and things like that.
I figured you'd like the turkey leg, though.
Turkey leg is, no, I don't like turkey legs.
Oh, okay. It's our meteorologist from Channel 3, Ron L.
Yeah.
He's big into the turkey leg.
Oh, he is.
Well, remember, he lobbied for us continuously to bring him back a turkey leg from the state fair.
From the state fair?
Yeah. That's one of his big things, I think.
I didn't know that, I guess. All right.
Well, he said it to you multiple times.
I guess I ignored him. Sorry. Today is the 27th day of September on this date in 1964. The government publicly released the report of the Warren Commission, which concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald had acted alone in assassinating President John F. Kennedy. And frankly, the controversy over that report and kind of about a big shot in the arm for talk radio across the country, because the conspiracy theorists came out and there was quite an industry on that. A number of books written over the years. Who really did it? Was the CIA plotting to kill the president? What about Castro, was he involved? How about the Russians? There's just about anybody you can think of.
The mob?
The mob, there. Did the mob hit him? And, yeah, did Lee Harvey Oswald, was he the lone shooter? So, Warren Commission said, yes, he was.
Have you been to the museum there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times. I haven't been for several years, and, you know, like to go again. You know, I got grandkids that needed to see it, but I haven't seen know about it.
It's amazing that you can actually just go and
go
stand
right, in.
Right there where it happened.
Go up into the to the sniper's nest.
Very sobering.
Yeah. And, yeah, you see the photos where you've seen of the warehouse with all the boxes in it?
It's right there. It's right there. Yeah.
Amazing. And, yeah, like I said, I got to get the grandkids down there and have them figure it out. It won't be, probably won't be as fascinating as it was for me because, you know, I was in the eighth grade at Hadley Middle School when that happened. And a huge part of our lives here in the United States of America and the world, the assassination of Mr. Kennedy. 8:13, Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Big, big weekend today. A lot of sports, right, Ted?
Got a lot going on, of course. Yeah. Sunday afternoon, we got the first place in the division on the line as the Kansas City Chiefs are visiting the Los Angeles Chargers. Big game on Sunday, and the Chiefs, of course, have that 9-game winning streak. They want to keep going. As always, on a Friday morning, we bring in the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, courtesy of American Ag Credit, as we say, good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Theodore. And Theodore, I'm dedicating this entire segment to one Steve McIntosh, Hall of Fame broadcaster, because you'll hear why at the end of the segment. But also shout out to all of our loyal Ploppa Friday listeners, Dr. Maharis and all of the Sedgwick County physicians that listen to this. They stop everything they're doing. Katie, we talked about Katie before. Ty, of course, at American Ag Credit. Every day is the Pretty Prairie Rodeo. Sean Finley, the entire staff at Hotel Kansas City, and many others who are just followers of the Ploppa Report. We love them all.
Yes, sir.
The Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chiefs have won this road matchup 10 years in a row, stretching over two cities and three stadiums.
Yeah. And a soccer venue. And honestly, it's like a third city because when they played in that soccer stadium at Cal State Dominguez Hills, that was Long Beach.
All right.
Really, that's where we stayed. I mean, they're just a nomadic team. I know they're playing in SoFi, and they left the bulk of their fans in San Diego angry. It's been strange playing these guys out there. And we had the walk-off win by Kelce in overtime to basically cinch the division. We need another big win this week against the other Harbaugh.
The Chargers are having quarterback issues right now.
Well, he did not go yesterday, Justin Herbert. He has not only a high ankle sprain, which is problematic enough for any human, but for sure an NFL quarterback. He also has plantar fasciitis. That has kind of been overlooked in this whole high ankle sprain stuff. And so there's a lot going on with Justin Herbert, but he's a little bit like Joe Burrow. He's been hit a lot in his early tenure, hit more than he should have been hit. But honestly, I don't think it matters who plays quarterback right now for Jim Harbaugh. He's trying to set this tone. Not all Harbaughs are the same. John Harbaugh's the kind of the good brother. Jim's the quirky Uncle Jim coming to the picnic that's like, you know, with his photo gray glasses and, you know, squinting through it in the khaki pants and did marry a Belton, Missouri girl. But he's a little different. But what they do share is the same approach to football. If Jim Harbaugh could change the Charger colors to purple and black and make them the Ravens number two, he would, because that's the way they're playing. Physical, mean machine, run the ball. I don't care who's at quarterback. Give me Taylor Heineke. We're going to hand it off 56% of the time and try to beat you up. That's what the Chargers have become.
Yeah, off to a 2-1 start under new head coach Jim Harbaugh. And the Chargers, top 7 in the league in rushing and top 10 in a ton of categories on defense.
They're really good on defense. Now, they do not have Derwin James, who is suspended one game for violating NFL playing rules, and that could have been done like 3 years ago. He is the mean machine. He's the prison guards playing the mean machine. I mean, this is Three Stooges. We're poking eyes and, you know, tweaking the nose and pulling the ears. That's Derwin James. Well, he now has the rest of his team doing that as well. This is a mean defense. And Jim Harbaugh wants it to be that way. They'll punch you all day long. They punch the ball out. They have 5 takeaways. They're +3 in the giveaway takeaway. And living on a rock-hard defense and a team that's run first, as you mentioned, but they'll get explosive plays. J.K. Dobbins is 3rd in the league in rushing. He has a 61-yard run, and he's got 2 rushing performances of 230-plus yards more rushing in 2 of the first 3 games. So that's the way they're going to play. That's what you got to get ready for, and you got to take the fight to them.
The Chiefs are 3-0, but by a total of 13 points. Close.
You want your stat of the morning?
Yes.
The stat maybe of any. The stat of the morning. Okay. NFL research. I was working on this one late Wednesday night, Thursday night. I don't know what these days are. Anyway, the Chiefs have a 9-game winning streak. This is wrapped around last year,
yeah,
counting the 4 playoff games and Super Bowl 58. Their margin of victory, the differential, what they've scored versus what, or the margin of victory is plus 54. That is the lowest in NFL history for any 9-game winning streak in scoring differential. So, yeah.
Which just goes to show the importance of mental toughness, coaching, success in all three phases of the game. You just got to make sure you don't make too many mistakes and the mistakes that hurt you and end up in a loss.
This is why you're a Marconi Award winner, Ted, because there's two ways of looking at it. In baseball, if we're looking at the Wichita Wingnuts and you say, hey, they've won 17 one-run games out of 22 possibilities, do we see that as a weakness or a strength?
Strength.
Usually we see that as a strength, do we not?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, they're able to win the close games. In football, we see it as a sign of weakness. I sound like the old George Carlin skit, but we do. If you're not blowing people out, you're like, man, I don't know what you're doing. You guys are weak. You're barely scraping by. Well, wait a minute. What about in baseball when you know all these one-run games? The Chiefs are finding different ways to win. My Minute with Mitch this week was based on bidding no Trump in bridge. Now, my dad's 91 years old in Smith Center, still sharp as a tack. He's playing bridge this afternoon. In fact, he's missing the Smith Center homecoming parade to play bridge. So that tells you where his priorities are. All right. The point is here, he said it's like bidding no Trump in bridge. You can play clubs, diamonds, spades, or hearts, but the highest ranking bid in bridge is no Trump, meaning I can win different ways using different suits. And to me, that's what the Chiefs have done. They've done it with opportunistic dig-in defense, Bucker making every field goal known to man, regardless of circumstance or length, and you still have Mahomes being Mahomes. And so far, not Kelsey being Kelsey, but somebody else being somebody else. So you're winning games like this. To me, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Because look what they've beaten in this 9-game winning streak. That's 2 over the Bengals. That's 2 over the Ravens. That includes the Bills at the Bills, the 49ers in Super Bowl 58, and the Falcons at the Falcons. So it's been a pretty good streak, you know, regardless if they've won 37-0 or not.
W is a W in my book.
See, that's a Hall of... Did you hear that, Ted?
Yeah.
Car stopped. Everything stopped in Wichita. Kellogg, don't wreck into people. They're just brake lights all over. A W is a W. We got to get shirts made and put the old Wooshock on it from Wichita University, Municipal University of Wichita, and have it W-U. A W is... Man... Give me a moment. I'm going to collect myself. I'm ready. I'm good.
Do you have a quick take for me on what's your quick take on Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
The Klingons left it when they visited the Coca-Cola Museum.
Yeah. Nice. All right, you're going.
It is. These architects get real creative, but it's non-functional. Did you see my tweet? See if you can find my tweet before the game. There is a 6-inch mental bar right in front of me.
Nice.
It's great. It's like putting a paper sack over the head of the catcher and go, hey, go out and catch the game. I know. So thank you, the architects, for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
The Klingons are going, hey, you guys can have this. We're going back to Planet Scroll Tone.
First place in the division on the line, the Chiefs visiting the Los Angeles Chargers. Coverage for the Chiefs Radio Network with Mitch Holtis at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Game kicks off at 3:25 Sunday, and that is right here on your Wichita Radio, home of the Chiefs, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Mitch, we must ask you, how does this Chiefs-Chargers matchup on the West Coast somehow relate to Wichita State Shocker football as part of our Eddie Plapa Shocker Football Kansas City Chiefs West Coast update?
Steve McIntosh, take the palm of your hand and just leave it right there. Just leave it on the table. Ted Woodward, take the palm of your hand and slap it against your head, because this is dedicated as a gift. This Plapa report is a gift to Steve McIntosh. Because he wanted it, he's going to get it. Sunday's game against the Chargers will occur on September the 29th. Let's get in the Klingon time machine and go travel back in time to 1956.
Yeah.
September 29th, 1956. Steve, you wanted it, you're getting it. On that day, the Sharks played the Hardin-Simmons Cowboys at Veterans Stadium in Wichita. It was 4 weeks ago, and Steve said, hey, when are you going to bring up Hardin-Simmons? We bring it up today. Now, Hardin-Simmons ended up winning that game against Pete Tillman's Wichita Wooshocks. But to me, the interesting story, we find these coaches. The coach of the Hardin-Simmons Cowboys, Ted, you're going to like this, because the coach was Slinging Sammy Ball.
Oh, Slinging Sammy.
Oh, yeah. Pro Football Hall of Fame. College Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Slinging Sammy Ball. He brought the Hardin-Simmons Cowboys to Wichita to meet Pete Tillman's Wooshocks. Now, remember I said about Sid Gilman coaching Cincinnati against the Sharks?
Yeah, yeah.
That was during Cincinnati week, right?
Yeah.
Sid Gilman coached the Chargers all through the AFL. The first coach of the AFL New York Titans, who eventually became the New York Jets, was Slinging Sammy Baugh, who was a high school Texas legend at Rotan, Texas, for the Fighting Yellowhammers of Rotan or Rotan. Yep, they beat the Klingons in overtime to win the playoffs 17-15. So anyway, a tip of the cap on September the 29th, 1956, when Slinging Sammy Baugh put his shoes on the field at Veterans Stadium to play the Wooshocks. So shout out to Steve McIntosh, Sammy Baugh, the Hardin-Simmons Cowboys. You can't even play all those guys if you don't have a team. So bring it back, Steve and Ted, bring it back. That was for you, Steve.
Thank you, sir. Chiefs Chargers on Sunday right here on KNSS, and we forgot to say it last week, so it's with extra heartfelt forgivings that we say thank you, Mitch.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Ted, and thank you, Slinging Sammy Ball.
Woo! Once again, our visits on Friday morning with Mitch Holtis, brought to you by American Ag Credit.
Coming up, the Hannity Morning Minute this morning, and Sean questions the use of the word holistically. That's on the way, Steve and Ted in the morning.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. Florida is experiencing dangerous conditions brought on by Tropical Storm Helene. It was Hurricane Helene. Fox Weather's Randy Campbell is in Tampa.
Extensive flooding occurring here surrounding some of the homes that are closer to Bayshore Boulevard. We could feel hurricane force wind gusts between 60 and 70 miles per hour. But what's most notable about this area is the storm surge. The flooding already happening. We could get storm surge up to 8 feet. And just talking to locals here, they know this area, Bayshore Boulevard, normally floods when they have these high tides and such. But people are telling me this is much higher than they are used to seeing.
Helene has intensified and now is detensified, that is, from a Category 4 hurricane down to a tropical storm now. City of Wichita calling for a federal investigation into the death of a Wichita firefighter. An autopsy report indicates that Ty Volt died of unspecified cardiac arrest while battling a house fire August 1st. The city is asking the National Institute for Oceanic or Occupational Safety and Health to look into the death and make recommendations on how to avoid a death like this in the future. Agency has not said if they will investigate the case. Changes have been charges that have been filed in a fatal Wichita hit-and-run accident. 23-year-old Christopher Johnson charged with leaving the scene of an accident. Police say he struck 43-year-old Thomas Doyle last month while Doyle was riding an electric bike on North Hoover Road. High school administrators are wrestling with truancy in Great Bend. A counselor, Rachel Thexton, says the Juvenile Justice Department is applying for a grant to fund a position that would focus on chronic absenteeism.
We do need help from an outside agency to get those kiddos there, because we have done everything, that we feel like we can. And so, having that partnership with juvenile services and just that shared message of education is important.
Thexton adds that while they have always had these types of issues, the numbers went up following COVID. Alabama carries out an execution.
Alan Eugene Miller executed at a South Alabama prison using nitrogen gas, making the 59-year-old the second U.S. inmate to die by the controversial method. Miller was sentenced to death for the 1999 fatal shootings of three men. The state previously tried to execute him by lethal injection in 2022, but officials were unable to connect an IV line to him. Miller challenged the nitrogen gas protocol, but dropped a lawsuit after reaching an undisclosed settlement. Alabama executing inmate Kenneth Smith by nitrogen gas in January. The method, which causes nitrogen hypoxia or death by lack of oxygen, has sparked debates. Supporters say it causes a person to lose consciousness, while critics call it cruel and inhumane. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
September is National Suicide Prevention Month. Joan Tammany is executive director of ComCare of Sedgwick County Mental Health Center. Tammany tells KNSS News 94 people committed suicide in Sedgwick County last year.
The reality is that suicide is the second leading cause of death for young adults and teens, and it's the 10th leading cause of death for people over the age of 35. And we're seeing an increase, at least locally, of deaths in older individuals with chronic medical issues.
The National Suicide Hotline is 988. Joan Tammany is our guest this weekend on Issues 2024, Saturday and Sunday morning at 8 on KNSS. Stephen, 10 in the morning, KNSS 850 now here on a Friday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Tropical Storm Helene is hammering Florida and Georgia.
Two.
Local volunteers from Red Cross and fire departments head for the Southeast U.S. to help with storm damage.
One.
Textron Aviation Machinists strike. Enters day five. No talks expected before the weekend. Three big things. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Cordell and Cordell traffic camera showing those traffic volumes getting pretty thin out there. Things are looking better, but we have a stalled out vehicle. You want to watch out for this. Northbound I-235, and it's at the ramp to southbound I-135. Right there in that road construction. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 82 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, the overnight low 58. For Saturday, mostly sunny. Tomorrow's high again, 82 degrees. Now a clear sky. Northwest wind at 6 miles per hour. And 55 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 8:51, Steve attends. Trading is underway on Wall Street on this Friday morning, and right now the Dow is up over 129 points, S&P is up over 5 points, and the NASDAQ is trading up by almost 24 points.
In local business news from the Wichita Business Journal, one of downtown's most visually prominent office buildings is back on the market, nearly getting a new owner earlier in the year. In recent weeks, the seven-story Riverview building, located on the western edge of Wichita's core, went up for sale. It's priced at just under $4 million. Now, the move follows news that the 79,000-square-foot building's two anchor tenants, the law company and its subsidiary, LK Architecture, are leaving the building, moving over to the downtown Ruffin building by year's end.
Wichita-based Spirit AeroSystems is pushing back on a media report that the company is set to start furloughing employees in 3 weeks if Boeing's machinist strike continues into mid-October. Quote, we continue close coordination with Boeing and no decisions have been made at this time, end quote, said Spirit spokesperson Joe Pacino in a statement to the Wichita Business Journal. Now, late Wednesday, Financial Times, citing an unnamed industry source, said Spirit would begin layoffs in a few weeks if the 33,000 worker labor shortage on the West Coast, stoppage on the West Coast, was still going on. It reported that Spirit, Boeing's biggest supplier, has been using the strike to catch up on work. It's been previously reported that the Boeing strike, which began September 13th, would not have an immediate impact felt in Spirit's operations. An industry source told the Wichita Business Journal last week, there is enough slack in Spirit's system that any production determined detriment from the strike was not expected in the coming weeks. That's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal with Steve and Ted in the morning. All right, Ted, today is National Chocolate Milk Day. As a youngster, I didn't care for regular milk.
I didn't either.
We were supposed to drink. I just drank it at at kindergarten, you had to have it there, but I like the chocolate milk.
I do, too.
In the late 1680s, an Irish-born physician by the name of Sir Hans Sloane invented the chocolatey beverage that became known as chocolate milk.
Well, thank you, Sir Sloane. That was a good idea.
In 1680.
When chocolate was not easy to come by.
And chocolate milk's been around a long time. All right, Steve, and 10 in the morning.
Bless his heart.
Got a couple of birthdays to mention this morning. One of them a very well-known person. That's Susan Peters.
Oh, very famous.
Came to our town. She grew up in San Diego, and her dad was a television guy. He came to town, what, in the 70s or was it the 80s?
Probably the 80s. Turned K-Witch from a doormat into a powerhouse.
Yep, she helped to turn that around. Yeah. And then she went over to Channel 10 after that.
Yeah, she's there for a long time. Years. Cake.
And now she's looking for helping out kids.
Now she's doing a lot of good work. Post-TV.
And so I've worked with her as a co-MC a few times, and she's a great person. Happy birthday to Susan Peters today.
Yes.
And I have a happy birthday to somebody who's close to me, and that is my granddaughter, Sammy Jo.
Oh.
Yeah, she is a student at Derby Middle School. She's 12 years old today.
12.
Sammy Jo.
Wow.
12 years old. She's taken up studying Dutch, the language, and she's taken up the trumpet.
Wow.
To go with her black belt in karate. Sammy Jo.
Highly accomplished.
Having a birthday today.
Man.
Coming up, we got the Glenn Beck program here on KNSS. Talking about a bill to add 6 justices to the Supreme Court. And our news at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Hurricane, now Tropical Storm Helene, and the damage it's done. And stay with Steve and Ted in the morning, every morning, coming back Monday on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.